We're back in Darchei Noam. We're in the first piece on Emunah u'Bitachon. We're on page Kuf Lamed Tet Ot Dalad. B'siyum ha'inyan ne'emar. Vayan Iyov et Hashem vayomar. Iyov responded to God and said, Yadati ki kol tuchal velo yibatzer mimcha mizima v'gomer. Lishma ozen shimaticha v'yata einai ra'aticha. Al Kain Emas Venichamti Al Afar Va'efer. Let's take a look at that inside. Just to get a shot first before we see where he takes it. Says there we go. Iyov responded to Hashem and said, I knew that you can do everything and that nothing can impede your purpose from you. Who is it that would deny your counsel without knowledge? Therefore I declared, yet I understand nothing. It is beyond me. I shall not know. Listen, please, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you inform me. I heard of you through hearsay, but now my eyes behold you. Therefore, I renounce my words and relent, for I am but dust and ashes. So, an acceptance of Iyov after a long and tumultuous sefer of his place in reality, which very much fits into the conversation we had in the last time we learned together about kind of recognizing where I am in conjunction with God's kind of all-powerful rulership of the universe, and what are the limitations of my understanding and what are the capacities of my understanding in that context. But certainly reflecting that conclusion. Kilomar. At Ata, Rak Lishama Ozen Shematicha, up until now I've only heard about you through hearsay. Avalata Inai Ra'aticha, but now my eyes have seen you. Mishumkach, and because of this, Emas Bechol Divarai Shedibarti Adko. Because of this, I've relent from everything that I've said previously. Kiperush Ibn Ezra, that's how Ibn Ezra explains, and that seems to be in line with the way that Arshul translated it. Hadarga shel ve'ata einai ra'aticha, and now my eyes see you. Hikoach habihirut shel ner Hashem nishmat adam hame'ir ba'adam. That's the koach, that's the strength of that clarity of what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, of that ner Hashem nishmat adam, the soul lighting up inside of us and giving us that clarity from the inside, our soul providing that clarity that's beyond any way of taking in a clarity of Hashem in the world from the outside in, but from the inside out. Shemisalek et kol hakushiyot ve'et kol ha'mivuchot, that removes all doubts and all confusions. V'kemo shematzino b'midrash reish lech lecha, it's like we see in the medrash at the beginning of lech lecha in Bereishit Rabbah, ala pasuk lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimolaratecha. Rabbi Yitzchak Patach, Rabbi Yitzchak opens up his discussion of Parshat Lech Lecha with the following verse. Shim'i bat re'i v'ati oznech v'shichachi amech ubeit avich. Tehillim at Memheyud Aleph. Shim'i vat u'ra'i v'ati oznech v'shichi amech u'veit avich. Hear, O daughter, and see, and incline your ear, forget your people and your father's house. Which certainly sounds like what God is telling Avraham. Amar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Mashal le'achad shaya over mimakom le'makom v'ra'a bira achat doleket. Amar Tomar Shavira Zo below Manhig, Hatitalav Balabira, Marlo, Anihu Balabira, Kaklafi Shahya Shahaya Avinu Avraham. I always trip over that when I read this matter because I always assume it's Avram Avinu and it phrases Avinu Avraham, unclear why. Avinu Avraham Omer, Teamer Shaolam Azeb below Manhig, Hititalavakarish Baruch of Amarlo, Anihu Bal Haolam. So that is a very, very well-known midrash. And if not, then now there's six more people in the world who know this midrash. But it is a relatively well-known midrash, which is that given a mashal of how did Avraham Avinu find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the mashal is very simple and goes as follows. This person who goes from place to place and finds this palace that's lit up. The lights are on. Somebody left the lights on. Amar, so that person says, you're going to tell me that this palace has no owner, it has no master? Meaning if the lights are on, if things are happening inside, then it must be that somebody's inside and somebody is running the house. And therefore, once that person said there must be somebody ruling over this house, so then the owner of the house throws open the door and says, it's me. I'm the one who runs the show. The nimshal is pretty on the nose, right? Avraham walks around the world. Avraham says, this whole world, the lights are on. Things are working. Again, all things we talked about last time, that the incredible hashkacha pratit that's happening in the world, and even, quote-unquote, forget hashkacha pratit in the sense of, if you flip it on its head, think about hashkacha pratit in the way you've never thought about a hashkacha pratit before. The fact that the whole world functions in perfect concert like it does, that the air and the molecules and the way we breathe and the trees and humans and the way that our eyes function and the way that the seas and the tides and the air and the sky and the earth and all these things are all working in perfect harmony. And coming back to what the Darchi Noam very powerfully said, it was so nice because it was so powerfully emistic in a way that we wouldn't, there's almost like a self-consciousness to be able to say that in this day and age, where he said a few weeks ago when we read earlier, he was like, only a fool would look at the world and think that there's no God, that there's no ruler. If you really look at the world and see the way, and the impossible confluence of events that would lead to reality actually functioning the way that it does, that it's literally impossible. So Avraham looks at the world and sees there's got to be something right in the world. The lights are on. And so once he says that out loud, once he comes to that realization, HaKadosh Baruch Hu peeks through the veil, through what we call Nivua, and says, I'm here. He starts talking to him, which is a way of saying, I'm here. Very well-known and very powerful midrash about why and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to speak to Avraham Avinu. Right? Hitzitz alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lo anihu ba'al ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumps out and says, I am the master of the world. V'abit Avraham. The Beit Avraham is what the Netivot Shalom often quotes. So we're going back two generations, right? In terms of the Slanimer tradition. The Beit Avraham says, Yish ma'amar shalem al divrei ha-midrash ha-elu. U'marchiv sham b've'or ha-kushya shel birat doleket shinusuba al she'ilat dikvara l'varasha v'tovlo sh'aleh al-savev sefer Iyov. In the Beit Avraham, he says, in the Sefer of the Slanim of the Beit Avraham, that he says the Darchei Noam, there's a whole ma'amar about this midrash. And the Slonimer there goes at length to explain the question of what is this lit up house, and about how this whole mashal is really surrounding the question of Tzadik V'ralo V'rasha V'tovlo, and that's also what all of Sefer Iyov is about, which makes sense, meaning Kilu, that when Slonim wants to, meaning in the tradition of Slonim, when you want to go to the question of Tzadik V'ralo V'rasha V'tovlo, they're going to continuously turn to Iyov. It's all the same Hasidic line. But that they find it also in this Midrash. Kasher yish yehudi yotze lirechov u'mitbonen al kol hana'aseh libo mitpotetz bekirbo. Whenever a person goes out into the streets and they actually look at everything that's happening, their heart just jumps out and says something that's very much in Yiddish. And remains in Yiddish. My father-in-law, Lava Shalom, Salih Shev and Neshama from our learning. His first year at Site just passed. Never had a negative say to think about me in his life. Only time he almost said something negative about me was when he found out I didn't know how to speak English. And he always said it to my wife. He just was like stunned. I don't think it was more than like a critique. I just think he just like didn't understand how it's possible that a Jew cannot know Yiddish. So I failed. I don't know what I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm a total loser in Yiddish. Okay. Kilu zeh chas v'shalom olam shel hefker. As if this chas v'shalom were a world of hefker. I don't know how to end that sentence. So I'll say it going. Harishim maslichim. Ah, kilu. Okay, so he's saying hafuch. That phrase was necessary to just flip it on its head. Meaning, when a person goes out to the streets and they actually look around at the world, meaning what we talked about is when you look out and you look at the world and you see it all working in concert and it's so amazing, how could you not believe in God? But on the flip side of that, you walk out into the streets and you look at the world, you're also like, God, you managed to make the entire world work perfectly. I'm breathing, my heart's functioning, my eyes are seeing, my lungs are moving in and out, my heart's beating, I'm digesting my food, I'm able to walk, I live in this world, it's so amazing, everything is supporting me in the perfect way that it needs to be, there's the exact amount of air pressure on myself, there's all this stuff working so great. So why can't you get your act together and give all of those people in that world what they deserve? Why are evil people thriving? Why are the tzaddikim totally constantly getting beaten into the ground? Kilo, everything except for justice is great. Those things seem to be totally at odds with each other. And if it's in Yiddish, so it's going to be Jews complaining, right? So meaning that's, he's saying, like, how do you look at the world? And it's like, what's going on? It seems like the whole world is a world of hefker. Evil people are succeeding all the time. And the tzaddikim who are walking in the ways of Torah, they have nothing. And as he says, more things in Yiddish. Ah, but he translates this one. Hechan sheish ezu nekudat emet on the bottom aleph. Hechan sheish ezu nekudat emet hakol olech hafuch velo matzlichim. Anytime you see even the smallest point of truth, everything's going to go on its head and you won't see any atzlacha. Kilu, truth doesn't seem to succeed in this world. It doesn't. I mean, ad kedei kach that the Zohar Kadosh calls olam hazeh amad shikra. It's the world of sheker. Now we have to explain what that means. And again, that all comes, it's all the same question. But yes, it's an Amad Shikra. This world is a world of sheker. Afilu elu shetov v'ra mi'uravim etzlam nochalim hatzlachot muflagot. Even people who have ra and tov that are totally joined within them are constantly seeing tremendous success. Aval heichan sheish nekudat emet la'amita. When you see something that's really, really true, you see a really emesthetic person. You go and park. I don't know what that is. Darcham Ritzufa. Hopefully, after this, after he leaves that, meaning that I'm sure it's, well, this must all be quoting from that piece, which must be majority of it in Yiddish. Darcham Ritzufa Kilshonot Ve'ina Matzlichot Kishlonot. Whenever you see a little bit of MS, there always is going to be trouble, and they're never going to succeed. And you see it all the time. You see it all the time. Amnesty people trying to fight for the right thing in this world, and just, you know, they don't get anywhere. They just don't get anywhere. Nobody prizes MS in this world. It's a very, very hard thing. Kimokein, ish bechayav shekol yachid mevatzim shel bira doleket. So too, in every single person's life, there's those moments of the birat oleket, of this house that's lit up. Ki inyan she'ne'emar, as it says in Eicha, gam ki ezak ve'eshva shatam tfilati. Even when I call out and I supplicate to you, I think my cry is quieted, I think. Yish mi she'nimsa b'mitzuka, u'mishu kvar lo asa b'shvil lihivashea, right, you have people who are in all kinds of distress, and there's nothing that they haven't done in order to see salvation, and they're davening, and they're crying out, and they're giving tzedakah, they're doing everything they can to try and get a rachamim from. No matter what they do, they don't see even the beginning, a doorway, a little hole of chesed and rachamim to walk through. V'chin b'ruchaniyut, so too in spirituality. Yish adam ro'esh, shekol mitziyuto ha'ruchanit. Person sees their whole reality of spirituality, bo'eret b'v'chinat b'ra doleket. They're lit up, and they're on fire, like this house that has torches lit up through every single window. V'ino yodeh ma'lasot, but they don't know what to do. Ma'arot simimenu, what do you want from me? Kol eimat. Kol eimat shimid chadesh. V'ozer kochot le'ezo aliyah ruchanit, who mekabel That every time they try to go and jump and take, they want it to be good, they want to be spiritually, but we all have those moments. We're excited, we want to bring it somewhere. And then every time I take that potential energy of spirituality and I say, that's where I'm putting it, what happens? It gets beaten down. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. But it's coming from such an emistic place. But isn't that what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants? Why wouldn't it go? Why wouldn't it work? Why wouldn't it take me forward? Huzakuk lerov. Lerov oz v'tatsumot nefesh kidei lihitmodeid al imitzro. That person is put into like a struggle with their yitzhak and they don't have in their soul the kochot for this. Meaning, then what's the point? What was the point of lighting up the fire in the first place? What was the point of lighting up the house in the first place? For you to cry out, is there a manhig, or for nobody to answer the door? V'chizeh olam hefker chas v'shalom. It looks like a little olam of hefker. It looks like there is nobody running the show. That's what he's explaining the midrash. Kilu, he's saying he's dividing the midrash into two parts. He's giving it a whole different take. It's a very interesting reading of the midrash. I think he's reading the Midrash as saying, if you go back, I think. Mashal le'achad shaya over mimakom le'makom v'ra'a birah achad dolekit. He goes from place to place and sees a house that's all lit up. Amar ti'amer shabirah zo b'lo manhig. So Suis, read that line. Are you going to tell me that this place really doesn't have a master? Of course there's somebody running the show. Or, how could it be this place doesn't have anybody running the show? Which I think how he's reading the line. And immediately when it comes to that point where everything looks like it should make sense and suddenly nothing makes sense, then, back to where we were, miyad itzitza lav bal habira v'amar lo ani hu bal habira. I think that's how he's reinterpreting. It's a beautiful, different shot in that midrash. Itzitza lav bal habira, hi biruta emuna mikoch neshama. That's when the bal habira, and he's reinterpreting here bira as bihirut, that bihirut comes out of emunah, the koach neshama sharei lo ana lo kol tshuva al timihutav rak hitzitzlav, where it doesn't give any answer. It doesn't give an answer to the question. It just suddenly overcomes and overwhelms that person. It jumps out at you when you feel in that moment of despair and lack of clarity. Ach biroto ki anu abala bira pit oma kol nasena hiru bariv nistalkul kol mivuchot. But then at that moment, when there's that burst of inspiration inside, then all of those questions go away. They become irrelevant. That's how he's understanding the midrash. Habira doleket tamshich gam hala lidlok. That bira doleket, that fire inside of us keeps on going forward and being lit. Aval kashir bala bira hitzitzalav niyelo tov bekol chadrei hanefesh. But when the bala bira comes out, then there's good in every single part of our souls. Hatshuva shel nishmat shakai tavinim. And this is going back two or three shirim to the core answer of Elihu to Iov of nishmat shakai tavinim. The neshama of God, that's what will give us understanding. Mashremi tikkut al nefesh adam allows a sweetness to rest on the soul of a person. Yoselo tov, it does good for a person. Okinyan rifcha mitpashetet bilibo, and it's like this broader perspective that's able to open up inside of the person's heart. Vametikkut azot yotera areva lo measher elu. And as we said before, this sweetness that comes into a person is sweeter to a person than even understanding it from an intellectual standpoint. And this is what the Midrash means to say, which is what most people don't. This is less well known. People know the Mashal of the Midrash, they don't know the Pasuk that the Rabbi Yitzchak was building off of, which was the one that we read before from Tehillim. Which is, listen, my daughter, see and forget your people and the house of your father. Haynu ki yesh emunah bidargat shimi. There's a emunah on the level of shimi, to hear. V'yish bidargat ri'i, and there's a emunah on the level of see. V'yimrtzono lizkot liriya. Lahatzitz alav bal habira. Meaning if a person wants to move up from hearing to seeing, and in Tratha Nistar, seeing is always bigger than hearing. Brief background. It's actually one of the major differentiations between Tarat HaNigla and Tarat HaNistar. If you open up a Gemara, it will say Ta Shma, come and hear. If you open up a Zohar, it says Ta Chaze, come and see. What's the difference between Ta Shma and Ta Chaze? What's the difference between Ri'yah and Shmi'ah? That with Shmi'ah, I have to go. I mean, literally, how does sound, how does hearing work? How does it function? So I'm speaking. So one syllable, one sound at a time reverberates and comes and goes into your ear. And you then, on your own, have to piece together the meaning of each of those individual sounds on your own. Meaning there is a larger meaning, but that the construction of that meaning has to happen internally by you collecting all the pieces of data and putting them together. That's very olam hazeh. That's the world that we live in. That's the difficulty of dealing with reality, is tashma. That's the pshat of the world. That's seeing the world for what it is. That's Torat HaNigleh, the revealed tradition, right? In comparison to Torat HaNistar. Torat HaNistar, Kabbalah, is trying to look at the bigger picture, the overarching picture, the unification. Meaning not just taking in piece by piece by piece, but seeing the whole canvas all at once. That's Tachaze, right? That's Tachaze. So if one wants to, on the one hand, reach a lower level of Shmi'ah, that's one thing in Emunah. Then there's a higher level of Ri'ah, he's saying, right? Just coming back inside. Hanukish Emunah b'dargat Shim'i, v'ish b'dargat Ri'i. V'imritzano liskot l'Ri'ah. But if one wants to be Zocha to this greater level of clarity of Ri'ah, latzitelav ba'al habira, for the ba'al habira, the person, the owner of the house, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to jump out and just see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in clarity. If a person wants to be zocha to ri'ya, for the balabira to jump out, meaning to see that clarity of the balabira, what's the itza? To forget one's homeland and the house of one's father, meaning you can't see it from where you're standing right now. You need to leave your preconceived notions. You need to leave what you've taken in over the course of time behind. You need to switch over to a higher plane that's totally different. And these are the words of Eov. This is what Eov's saying. Lishmoa ozen shimaticha bidarga shel shim ibat gvar amar gam kodem. On that level, you've already stood on the level of shmia. Aval adain haitacha siralacha dargat rei. You were closer to the aspect of rei. V'ata einai ra'aticha, now your eyes see. Alkein em as v'nichamti afar v'efer. Meaning, once Eov sees the full cosmic picture, he leaves behind a reality of Shim'i, of my homeland and my father's household, of my preconceived notions. He's bumped up to a level of Re'i where he sees with clarity the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom and capacity, runs everything. And suddenly I recognize that I am dust and dirt and I'm nothing. And there's a bigger plan out there and I get it. And I don't understand it, but I get it. I don't understand any of it. But it all makes sense anyway. What makes sense is that thing, that being, which is beyond, is very clearly running the show. And that I'm not going to understand that, and that's totally fine. And I'm just going to go about my avodas Hashem, because that's the most important thing. That's that level of clarity that he's talking about in the level of Re'i. Hashir einai ra'aticha, once he says, my eyes have seen, in lo shum tanot, and he has no tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hakol miyushav hakol baro, everything is settled, everything is clear. Hu ro'eh ki hatzor tamim po'olo, v'hakol kvar tovlo. He sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything that he does is complete, is whole, is trustworthy, and everything is meant in the end for his good. Thoughts, comments, reflections, at the end of this oath.
It's frustrating though that he had to see God to be able to get to that point, because like we're all not seeing God, so how do we get to that point?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about previously like those moments of like legitimate and distinct inspiration that a person has. I think that would be moments of Re'i. Maybe that Eov needed a larger canvas to see, a larger re'i, a larger picture to look on after what he had been through. But everything in its context and in its place, you know?
Right. I don't know, though, like, for me, like it's one thing to trust, like, I don't know, to me, like, inspiration doesn't sound like logical. It sounds,
correct.
Sounds like just what it is, but then how can you, like, reconcile the fact that, like, Christians get inspiration, too? Like a lot of people get like, oh, inspiration, and they just know, and they feel it, and they just know it now. Like, you can't trust your inspiration.
Correct. He would say that you can, meaning in the sense that if the inspiration comes from the inside out, if the inspiration is coming from the outside in, that's a whole different thing, meaning if somebody goes into an evangelical church and they hear a great speech, so then that's outside-in inspiration, and depends on what your source is and what that means, and that's a question.
Right.
If it comes from the inside out, well, then that depends on where are you funneling it toward. What are you attributing it to? But that's your own bechira chofshit. But that doesn't make it any less real.
What do you mean, like, what are you funneling?
Meaning, who cares what person... When a person feels that inspiration, they feel that excitement coming from the inside, and they feel that clarity of there being a God in this world. So if a Christian attributes that to a different God or
right.
a different understanding of what God is, or even a pagan attributes
right.
that to a pagan God, so that's, I mean, that doesn't make the reality of what they're experiencing any less real. It means that they are mischanneling the experience they're actually having.
So it's all coming from the same place.
It's coming from the neshama. Now, is there a difference in the level of inspiration based on the levels of neshamot that exist by a Jew versus a non-Jew? Could be. I don't know. I've never been a non-Jew before. But at least within the context of a Jew, that's the power of that experience is what he's talking about. And making sure to funnel it in a way where they see with clarity and they take that forward. You looked confused a minute ago.
Yeah, I have that question.
I do too.
Okay, so this is an internal thing. So there's no way of someone explaining this to someone else. So, like...
You can, but then it's not going to achieve the same goal, because then it's emunah sichlit. Because I explained it to you and you understood it. And that's a whole different level of emunah.
So basically everyone's on their own.
Yeah.
Let's say a person never experienced this, and they, I don't know, like throughout their life, they never experienced that.
Yet.
No, like, let's say somebody's on their deathbed, and they're like, nah, I've never had that inspiration.
Maybe.
They're like, I don't know.
I can't imagine, meaning, working within the Darchei Noam's framework,
yeah.
assuming that what he says is correct, and working within his... I think he would say, is a yefsharik. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu not give a person that opportunity? Maybe that person had that experience and then denied it afterward when the inspiration died away.
Right.
You know, the Amalekan side says, what are you talking about? It was all some fantasy. It was all some illusion. But why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu not? He would answer, I would suspect.
Is it that, like, Hashem gives you that inspiration, or you bring it upon yourself? Because, like, anybody can tell themselves anything. Like, you can all of a sudden just be
no,
like...
No, I think he's saying you feel it on a visceral level. It's not just saying it. It's the whole point is, like,
yeah,
it's beyond words.
Things.
You, I mean, I guess so, yeah. But, like, that experience, I mean, again, that experience is very real. And I think at some point where, like, I mentioned it before, like, everybody's, when I said, like, at some point in our lives we experienced something like that, I think everybody nodded. Like, there are those, we all have those, we know those moments. Sometimes we long for those moments. Sometimes we wonder, what did that feel like again? I remember I had it, but I can't remember what it feels like. Doesn't mean we didn't have them. And the question is, what do we do with that potential energy once we've got it? Where do we funnel it, and how does that drive us forward? When we don't have those moments of the soul lighting us up in clarity, which is something which he said can happen once in a day, once in a life, once in a week, once in a month. Like, it depends on the person. It depends on what they've achieved. And he hasn't said anything here that's indicated that a person can necessarily even cause it to happen. That's unclear. He hasn't said one way or another, but there's nothing there that is implied that you can cause it to happen. In which case, maybe we only get that which we need in order to go forward.
You're saying it's different than causing it to yourself.
Show me where in the piece so far you said that you can make it happen to yourself.
There's no way. You're saying.
I'm not saying there's no way. I'm saying he hasn't indicated anywhere that that's something which you can cause to happen. Which is noteworthy. but he's not indicated that. Yeah, he says Yesh zochim lo b'Shabbos Kodesh, v'Yesh inam zochim le b'Yirut hazot ki im pa machat b'shana, k'o b'sha'ag v'la shel ne'ilah yom ha'kipurim kasher zochim Hashem elokim. People experience it different ways, different times, but it sounds like it happens when it happens. Now, if he's saying some people only experience it once a year when their Yom Kippur is screaming out Hashem Elohim, that sort of implies that the more you immerse yourself in things that are relating to Emunah and Avodas Hashem, I would say you could read into that the more likely that is to happen.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Right, I just needed to find a phrase that would, but
right,
that to
right.
me, that in fact, that line maybe could say no, that's the point. If you're not going to shul on Yom Kippur, then there's a lot smaller chance on Yom Kippur that your soul is going to light up and suddenly give you this great clarity.
Is it a higher level when it's like that? When it's like,
I think it doesn't matter where it comes from. I think the point is when it lights up, it lights up. If you've ever experienced that feeling of clarity, that clarity is it. There's no more or less of it. It's a light switch that flicks on. As long as it lasts for, it's a light switch that flicks on. Yeah?
Right. Yeah. I just think that you can either like cause it upon yourself or you could not. Like you can like
I think you can increase the chances of it happening by putting yourself in more situations where that light switch is more likely to be flicked on. But being there is no guarantee. It doesn't happen every Yom Kippur. But if you're not doing anything on Yom Kippur, then it's guaranteed not to happen.
Wait, what about Yom Kippur?
Using the Yom Kippur example.
Yeah.
It's not guaranteed to happen every Yom Kippur.
Right.
But if you don't do anything on your Yom Kippur, it is guaranteed to not happen.
Right, right. Okay.
I would say it's a better way to frame it.
Right.
You know, you can never have that feeling of what it's like to be in that first kumsitz where your soul just starts to soar if you refuse to ever go to a kumsitz.
Mm-hmm.
But not at every kumsitz do you, you know. Yeah.
I'm just confused about the balance between every person gets what they need in terms of inspiration, and then what they be saying, like, if you could cause it,
you can create the potential for it to happen, and that's where the Bechira Chofshit comes in. Then you are expected to create.
No, so like when you see someone who you think would need that inspiration, they're going through something hard, they need that emunah, but they don't have it, is that Hashem isn't giving it to them, or is that they're not?
In the paradigm we just built, I would say it's both. Meaning, almost imagine it like this, right? In my kind of sci-fi imagery in my brain. You know, like, imagine there are little pockets, like, literally imagine, like, throughout the world, these, like, glowing spaces of inspiration. And they're there. If you walk through one, you'll feel it. So God's putting them there. But if you don't walk through it, it ain't gonna happen. But if all you have to do is choose to walk through it, and you walk through that space, then it comes. So there's both a from a Kadosh Baruch Hu aspect to it and a Bechira Chofshit aspect to it, as everything in this world should be. But it's both. Not every Yom Kippur has this glowy, fuzzy ball of wonder in it to walk through. But if you don't go to that place on Yom Kippur, then it'll sit there and just be untapped potential. Kacha Nireli. You know, it's like, If you're feeling, not that this person shouldn't do this, that maybe as an outlet or whatever it is, but like if you're feeling down, and this is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then not relevant to anybody in this room, but there's 1,000 students on this campus, so let's say only 600 or 700 of them do this. When you're feeling down, you know, and instead of going and like trying to find it, be inspired, you go and you binge watch 10 seasons of a television show, of a garbage television show especially, which has no content in it whatsoever. So then, yeah, after you're done, so do you feel inspired? No. You know, I'm not saying not to use things as outlets if you need them as outlets, but I'm saying, like, no, you're not going to. You know, it's that person who, when they drag themselves, when they put themselves in a situation where, like, I'm not feeling it, but I'm going to put myself there, and it's like, whoa, like, I feel like I'm back into it again. And it could be like you talked about before. You could get knocked down 10 times before that happens. Because those that wasn't there. In the first 10 times, you ran and you ran at a brick wall and didn't even know it. But if you stop running, you're never going to walk through that portal that will take you to a place of spirituality and inspiration. Now, some people can feel, it depends on also what you fill the content with, meaning, again, they can be in funny places. I've even personally, I've been in dark times where, like, I've not necessarily opened up a Sefer, but there are certain things that I enjoy reading, and I enjoy reading them because they have content. And so that spark has come back, that renewed energy for life has come back, that renewed energy, or even sometimes that spirituality, very oddly for me, which has always been a struggle. Sometimes even that feeling of spirituality can come back from some place that's not directly from a source of Torah. So it depends what are you filling your time with. You've binge watching 10 seasons of Friends, my guess is it's not going to happen. You know? You jump into, you know, a show or a movie or a book or something that inspires you for whatever reason, regardless of the merits for the moment. So maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu planted one there for you. I have to believe so because I've experienced it. Or maybe that's just coming from a negative place. Maybe it's coming from the Sitra Achra and really I've been infiltrating. I don't know. But my point is, it depends on how much you try. My point is, let's put it this way. If you're sitting in front of Friends, it's game over. Because it's not going anywhere. You're literally just burning time. You're literally just burning time. There's no potential for anything to happen. You have to put yourself in a place where at least there's the potential for something to happen. You have to be that tzaddik who keeps trying and be that guy who keeps knocking on the door. Be that person who he's talking about in the previous paragraph. You got to be trying. If you're not trying, then yeah, nothing's going to happen. Look what happened to Eov. He bangs his head against a lot of doors. He loses everything and begs the Kadosh Baruch Hu and turns to his lackluster friends and begs for clarity and goes and he's banging his head against the wall. What happens? Finally finds Elihu. And sees the entire structure of the cosmic nature of reality and feels totally settled. But I'm saying, like, yeah, but it took 42 chapters. And a lot of heartache. And a lot of internal struggle. But had Eov had television in his time, I don't know if he would have made it. B'lashon b'nei adam shel dorenu. Not actually commenting on Eov. He's a fictional character anyway, according to, you know, the pshat that the Darkanom is taking. It's Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the book. But I'm saying, like, who knows if Eov would have made it? You know? Punch out, space out, and go somewhere else. Go do something else. And we're not even talking about, you know, other things that are out there that people can turn to. Especially Bizman HaZeh. Friend should be the greatest evil of the world in our time. I give us a bracha that friend should be the greatest evil of our time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the world that we live in, it's so easy to just not... I don't know what else he was going to do. You're Eov. Like, I don't know what other story you have, which is what's so interesting about the story of Eov as opposed to Bidoreno. His other option was what? Throwing away Judaism, walking away, and becoming a tailor? You know, he doesn't even get, like, a cool story where he gets to, like, drop his ID, get a fake passport, and, like, start traveling the world, and, like, you know, there's not, he's some guy living in a town, and there's nowhere to go. Maybe lose himself in physical desire in the physical world, maybe that's the only place to turn to, but, like, he didn't have the world that we live in. There was no making a new identity on the internet. There was no dating websites. There was no, you know, self-help groups to turn to for people who have turned away from religious Judaism of one type to find a religious Judaism of another type. And Eov still had to go through all of this to get to the answer. But maybe that's why Eov's the paradigmatic journey. Because at the very least, he continued journeying, despite the fact that for him there may not have been other options other than really obviously bad ones. But he kept pushing and pushing and pushing until he came to that place. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him break. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu let him break, but not break to the point where he wasn't going to come back around. I think I've already told this story once before. I wonder if it was in this chabura, and with this we'll conclude. And this was a very dangerous move. I'm not right. This don't try this at home. But I was once talking to a student. Better told this year. Student had been through difficulty after difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. I've been working with this person for a while. And they came to me, and they'd been beaten down for the last... I mean, this is like... This is this case. Person saying like, I got it, I'm going to make it happen, I want spirituality, I want ruchnius, I want Torah, I'm going to... And then like, boom, like ripped away from them from the outside, again. For the last time. And you could see it on that person's face, like, for the last time. And I looked, and I sat there sitting with the student over one... It wasn't during the semester, it was during a break. Like, it was not like there was time, like, to really sit and talk. And there was like one last thing left. And it was so clear looking at them, like, it was this or they're out. And I couldn't blame them. I mean, they lasted a lot longer than many people that I know would have lasted. And I looked at this person and I said, if this doesn't work, are you ever coming back? Are you going to make it religiously? Is it going to happen? And it was like, no, like I got nothing left. It's this or nothing. I said, then I'm telling you with confidence that if you put your all into making this happen, it will happen. What are the chutzpah to say that? So you can ask me, you can ask a question on that later. But I deeply felt, looking at this person, I've been working with them as long as I worked with them, that there was nowhere deeper for them to go. God could not push this person farther than God had pushed this person. Could not. It was the end of this person's journey. And there was only one door left. And it was very clear what it was. And I said, there's no way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu pushed you this far to show you your limits, to let you fall off. And if you rally the last little bit of strength that you have and actually fight for this tooth and nail, fight for it like you're fighting for your life, because you're fighting for your life now, it'll come through. I'm telling you, it'll come through. Baruch Hashem, the student got to where they needed to be, exactly where we had hoped they would end up with, and is flying. Mamish, I haven't seen this person possibly ever. And that's Eov. And at every point of this student's journey, the student could have walked away and never would have gotten there. And this person, I suspect, is going to be one of the next leaders of the Jewish people. Could have walked away. Are we guaranteed it? No. Do I believe that like Eov, if we get pushed to its end and there's that one door in front of us and we keep pushing and banging our head against the wall, at some point will things come through? That, I believe in the Darshan. I believe in Sefer Yevam. This is kacha. And what was amazing was, without having learned Darshan Noam before, is that when I was talking to the student, I said, there are two stories I want you to go back to. And then watch how that all fits in. Meaning, again, because it's intuitive. It's intuitive if one looks at it from a Torah approach. I said to the student, there are two stories I want you to go back to. I want you to go back and read, or think over in your mind. But I want you to go back to the Pesukim, and read the story of Esther. And I want you to read the story of Yosef. I want you to read the stories of two people who watched their entire lives crumble before them with no hope of doing anything of meaning or significance, with no hope of their having any possible positive outcome for what they were going through, as they're thrown into a pit and into a dungeon, and a pit and then a servant and then a dungeon with no hope of ever seeing the light, of being grown up in a beautiful Jewish home, under or married to, however you want to understand it, Mordechai, and then being taken by one of the most disgusting and vile kings of all time who's not Jewish. And if you read the timeline of Megillat Esther, the last two prakim happened in like a day. The beginning takes place over years. She's just sitting there in the palace. Doing what? Falling into horrible depression. Bisman is on drugs. She's on, not like drugs, she's getting medically prescribed drugs to make sure to keep her moods up. That's what she's doing. She's an affluent, wealthy person who's miserable with her life. That's the story of Esther. But it's not, because she holds tough. And she almost loses it. She says, whoa, I can't go to the king. He's not necessary. He doesn't have to speak to me. And Mordechai says, what are you talking about? This is why you're here. And I have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Mordechai, who's pure emunah. From beginning to end of the story. Mordechai, to quote the Netivot Shalom himself in the Kanzas Darchei Noam, the first piece on Purim, he says, Mordechai lo yikra velo yishtachaved doesn't mean that Mordechai didn't bow down. It was Mordechai declaring, I will never bow down. Because there is no scenario you can create for me in this world where I will ever bow down to you and not to God. That was the Bihirat Amunav of Mordechai. And Mordechai looks at her and says, salvation is coming. Choose to walk through the king's door or not, but it's coming one way or another, and you can either choose to be part of history or not be part of history. Zehu. Unbelievable conversation with Mordechai and Esther. And Mordechai makes that same ultimatum. Walk through that door. It's going to happen anyway. You either walk through it or you don't. And she doesn't. It happens through her. Yosef keeps interpreting, he just keeps walking around. I'm a servant, great, I'll be the top person in the house and bring him total bracha. I'm in jail, great, I'll be the top person in the jail and take care of everybody else and interpret dreams. They're suddenly taking me, bathing me, shaving my beard and putting me in front of the king, great, I'm going to interpret his dreams. When he says, great job, Yosef, I'll go, who's Yosef? God just interpreted a dream for you, I'm nobody. And Paro goes, great, you're my second in command. Where does that come from? Bihirata emunah b'chol, in every way. And whether it comes, and here's the point, and then this will actually conclude, whether it comes from the inside, and maybe that's the way I never thought about it in terms of the parallels, but also the contrast of the two stories, whether it's the emunah of Yosef, which seems to never go away, which seems to always be living with this lit up soul, and the one second it like blips, like the light flickers, and he goes, please just say something to the king, 2 years more in jail. Right, he flickers for a second and he's done. Okay? But Yosef, who lives his whole life with that Bihirat Emunah, or Esther, who despite not having it for that moment, on whatever level she's at, and needs Mordechai to, from the outside, Mitzad HaSeichel, say to her, don't lose your Emunah, this is why you're here. For both of them, there's one thing that unifies them. They both stepped up and talked to the king. Mashal and Nimshal. They stepped up and talked to the king. And saw the greater picture, and eventually, retrospect by both of them, everything became clear. That's what all of the story of Purim and Esther is about, and Megillat Esther is about. Is about how the wheels and the set in motion from the very beginning, for that the salvation was already there from beforehand. That's one of the meanings of the V'nahafochu on Purim. Is that the Purim story is the only story where there's no tension ever built up. Because God turns the paradigm of what a story is on its head by putting the salvation in place before the crisis even arises. That's part of the V'nahavochu of Purim, is the very story is the antithesis of what the way that a story is supposed to be structured. And with Yosef, where we don't even, there when we're reading the story, we don't know what's going to happen the first time we read it, or if we read it with fresh eyes, we don't know. But we're at the end, and again, that contrast of where you live it through the brothers, and where Yosef goes, Ani Yosef, and you—if you really read it with fresh eyes every year, you live with where the brothers are at, and the Gemara itself says that it's a parallel to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go Ani Hashem, that those are meant to be parallel, and you're like, that all makes sense. Is there an emunah in Hashgachat Hashem, or is there not? And whether it's on an intellectual level, an emotional level, an inherent spiritual level, wherever it comes from, and wherever it comes. And as frustrating an answer as that is to the impossible negativity of the world, to the alma, the shirka that we live in. Kacha. We have to be Esther. And we have to be Mordechai. And we have to be Yosef. And we have to be Eov sometimes. But what unifies them as action is creating the potential to walk through that door of, I don't want to call it inspiration anymore, because inspiration is actually, I don't love the word inspiration. To walk through that door, not of enlightenment in terms of the sense of the mind, in terms of the sense of light, or enlightenment, ha'ara, to walk through the door of enlightenment. That comes from an activity on our part, and a perseverance on our part. And then we can be zocha b'ezrat Hashem to what he's describing here. To be continued.